as a vendor, how do I trust this escrow so much to have them handle my money?
We realized after a while that the biggest problem that e-commerce vendors face, or like online businesses face, is that of trust. We struggle with that, and we do payments on delivery, we get scammed. Our first scammer came from Ijegun. We delivered a face vacuum that came to this guy, and he just stopped picking calls, and they blocked us everywhere. Mm-hmm. When I reached out to him on WhatsApp, he swore for me. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, that's what they do for you.
Hi guys, welcome to another... Did I just rock my chair? Wow. Welcome to another amazing episode of Secret Behind the Scenes. Now, I feel like every entrepreneur in Nigeria, in Africa, I dare say in the world, should really be given the whole bush, not just the flowers, because it takes a lot to start a business, to run a business. I mean, it, especially in this part of the world, it is hard. And then when you come across people who say that they are serial entrepreneurs, I go crazy, because I'm like, how are you able to do this business and that business and that business and still stay sane? You know, it is really interesting. And today on the show, I have a very interesting guest. He is a businessman, and I dare say also a serial entrepreneur. And I mean, this is a chit chat, to be fair. We'll just be talking and chatting about, you know, what he does, his businesses, and just how he navigates, you know, the business space and those things that we don't see, those secret tears that these people cry, because I believe that they cry a lot, because it's hard. It's hard to run a business in Nigeria. I've tried and I know that it's not for me. I'm just like, you know what? No, I'd rather stay and be paid. But yeah, it is what it is. I have the brain behind Middleman in the studio with me. He goes by the name Adeola. This is me trying not to pronounce his surname, because I feel like I'm going to make a mess of it.
Owosho.
So, Adeola, what's your surname again?
Owosho.
That's it. So, welcome to the show.
I thank you.
Thank you for coming.
It's nice to be here.
See you, meet you. You look really splofic. You smell good. Thank you. Look expensive. I like your wristwatch.
I'm not expensive, but thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, I just like to always get in the heads of my guests a little bit before we, you know, get into their fancy lives, because I feel like, for the person that you are now, that was a genesis, right? Mm. So for Adeola, did you always think that, you know what, I'm going to be a businessman, and an astute one at that, or was it just happenstance for you?
Okay, I mean, so I think we all grew up wanting to be doctors and
engineers and lawyers
and engineers and accountants. I did not always know. In fact, no one in my family that I'm close to has ever like run a company. Right. I mean, my mom used to sell, you know, provisions, you know, milk, Milo and stuff. She had a very big shop. After like 3 months, we would have eaten everything in the shop.
Oh, wow.
So she would pack it up again, and maybe after like another year, she would. So I wouldn't exactly say she ran a business.
Right.
I mean, she mostly just
tried.
She tried. She did not, you know, when you're earning, and like it was good for daily money. Do you get? So I mean, you have money, you don't want to save it, you just need to like run a business. And but we usually finish all the noodles and the spaghetti before. Yeah, so I did not grow up with the entrepreneurship mindset. I did not at all. Okay. So fast forward to school. I didn't exactly sell anything in school. No, I did not. It was mostly studies. I mean, my mom was always breathing down my neck. She wanted me to have a first class. She loved it. I don't know what was about first class, but she really loved it. So I spent a lot of time in the library, you know, ninth class. So I didn't do any business. I didn't finish first class, by the way. I started with it, but I did not finish. I did not finish with it. Yeah. So, but I would say my first rodeo in entrepreneurship, started in 2018. Okay. When I went for Akialabi's conference. Right. I don't know, there's this conference he used to do, Yeko 4. Mm-hmm. That's a youth enterprise conference at Eco Hotels. Right, so when I was fresh out of school, I was looking for stuff to do after school. Because, I mean, I knew during my final year project that biochemistry was not my way. I just know that there's no future in this thing for me. Right, it was one of the most stressful moments of my life, my final year project, and I just did not, you know. Yeah, so started with so at this conference, you know, talked about pretty much how to make money as young people, right? And then there was this guy he brought on who also at the session, Tony Motosho. So he gave us a book. The title of the book was Where the Money Is in 2019 and How to Get It, right? So I think that was my first exposure to, like, you know, selling something, running a business, making money from, you know, from sales, right? Yeah. So I mean, after that, you know, we thought about mini importation, right? So I learned how to import stuff from China, you know, run ads, build websites, yeah. And then I tried to sell a bunch of stuff, you know, tried to build a sneakers brand called Luciferin, not from Lucifer. I mean, story for another day. Mm. So I tried to build that, you know, tried to build a shoelaces brand. There was some really nice shoelaces I tried to sell to back in the days. You know, I had a bunch of different stuff here and there.
Yeah.
But then my journey into tech also started around that time, okay. Right? So, I mean, tech was working and I was earning a salary from tech, and you know, while I was trying to figure out my entrepreneurship journey. So I would say, as much as I am a business person, I've done business for the better part of the last 6 years.
Okay.
But I've also built a career in product marketing. That's tech product marketing, right? Yeah. So, you know, not only product. Okay, career in product marketing, but I'm sort of, you can call me a generalist, because I know, I mean, because I worked my first, I spent the first 4 years of my career with a tech training school, you know, called Utiva, right? So, and you know, we taught people tech skills, ranging from product management, product marketing, data analytics, what else? You know, product design, cybersecurity, cloud computing, QA, you know, name it. So I sort of have like a surface level knowledge of tech, you know, on the general, on the general scale. Mm-hmm. But I've focused mostly on marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
I also like that you mentioned that you had tried a couple of things, you know, even though you were, you know, working in tech and you're earning like a salary, but you did try a couple of stuff. Why did you keep trying? Because I feel like for you to have tried this and it didn't work and tried this and it didn't work and whatever, you know, and you kept trying, then there was something that you were saying that maybe nobody else was saying. So why did you think that, you know, I need to, because you were earning decent money from tech according to you. And you could have also decided, you know what, I beg, let me just, you know, keep doing this and just, you know, keep earning my money. But was it a legacy thing, or, you know, I feel like I can still make more money from like entrepreneur. What is it about business?
Okay, so I think I would say that I like building stuff. Right. And I like, okay, no. There's a part of building stuff, but also the part of freedom. Right, so I think I'm not sure, or I mean by now I should be sure, but I think I'm a very I love being able to live life on my own terms. I've been able to just, you know, to just do my own thing, right? And it has shaped my career so far. Right, so my first job with Utiva between 2017 and 2021 was not exactly, I mean, it was a job, but it didn't feel like a job. It felt like we were building a company together. Right, so Itayo came to school. I met him when I was in school, a campus ambassador, you know. And then after school, I was first a friend of the company, and then I started, you know, working with them, just doing one or two things here and there. And and then we started to launch a tech training school, and I was just a part of it, right? So as much as it was a job, you know, I would call him Egbon. Do you get it? Wasn't good morning, sir. How are you, sir? Right. Hey, do you get it? It was like I felt like a co-founder, right? Even though I didn't have equity or anything, do you understand? Yeah. So and I think it also affected. It also like played a major impact on how people even perceive. I mean, a lot of people thought I was a co-founder at Utiva. In fact, people would call me at Adela. Till today, I still get calls, you know, from people, you know, who reach out to say, hey, they want to learn. I'm like, I left Utiva in 2021. Why are you still calling me? Right. So I sort of built my entire identity around Utiva, and people thought I was a co-founder. So because I had that freedom, you know, I would call it as 2 a.m. in the morning, that after I'm thinking of this thing, can we implement it? Do you get it? He would call me at 4 a.m. and we have calls till like 7 a.m., you know, just discussing, and just, so it wasn't exactly a 9 to 5. Mm. So I think that 4-year experience sort of shaped, you know, how I thought I wanted to build my career, right? So even after I left Utiva and, you know, joined another friend in building a real estate company, Uvest, it was still the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like a friendship thing. I was earning a salary from it, but it was more of a co-founding thing, of course, minus the equity, right? So so when I left Uvest in 20, why am I saying as if it has been long? Just last year, November. Mm-hmm. When I left last year, I knew that, okay, it was time to go build my own thing. I mean, I've been doing business on the side. We ran Venia Skin during COVID, made good money during COVID. Let's say after COVID, because flight did not work for a long time, for about 3 months. At least cargo did not land. The airlines were not working. Yeah, so when our package dropped around, when we were able to clear our goods around, I think June, you know, in those 6 months, we did really good money. So, I started this e-commerce thing since 2018, 2019. It didn't work for like 2 years, but 2020 was when, you know, it's now picked up. So, you know, since then, I mean, Amolara is my co-founder, currently a middleman, and we are at that Yeko 4 conference together. So we've been doing everything together.
Oh, wow.
Really, yeah. So for the last 6 years, I don't think there's any business I've done that she hasn't been a part of. We've just been doing a bunch of stuff. So Venia Skin is the business that we did in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Venia Skin started to make sense. We were selling face masks, face vacuums, so like beauty tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beauty tools. And then after a while, I started to discover my love for... Okay, we also sold lamps, 3D lamps, with Mazzini. So we're running both brands at the same time.
Mm.
No, we signed Mazzini in 2021. So it was just Venia between June and December 2020, then Mazzini in 2021. So we were selling lamps, and then we realized that, we realized that a lot of people that were buying our lamps, so they were 3D lamps, really beautiful, cute lamps. People that are buying these lamps were using it to like decorate their workspaces, like their work desks at home. And there were also a lot of tech people. You know, so like, okay, you know what? Why don't we just branch off and, you know, add more products to the catalog and sell other workplace tools or workplace accessories? So we decided to design monitorizers. Headphone stands and all the, you know, aesthetic stuff that you used to, I used to beautify your workspace. So yeah, we did those two for a while. I think 2021, 2022. It was just last year that we decided that, you know what? Okay, so middleman sort of came from this experience, right? So we realized after a while that, I mean, we didn't realize from the beginning, it's not after a while, but like from the beginning, that the biggest problem that e-commerce vendors face, or like online businesses face, is that of trust, right? And if I sell something online and I run ads, if I spend 100k on ads, for example, and 100 people reach out to say, hey, I want this, probably just sell 10, probably eventually just make 10 sales, right? Or 9 or 5, right? Because the remaining, you know, 90, maybe not 90, so let's say people are not serious, right? But the remaining people share did not trust enough to make payments upfront, right? So we struggle with that, and we do payments on delivery, we get scammed. There's this neighborhood in Lagos I ate till today. our first scammer came from there.
Really?
Ijegun.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so we delivered a face vacuum to this guy, and he just stopped picking calls, and they blocked us everywhere.
Mm-mm.
When I reached out to him on WhatsApp, he swore for me. I'm like, oh, that's what I do for you. So that was like my first experience. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Oh, wow. So, yeah, so business are really going through it. And, I mean, so every time...
And this was payments on delivery. So you used to do payments on delivery.
Yes, yes. Within Lagos.
Within Lagos.
Yeah. Okay. So, no, the crazy thing. What? About three more people that ordered from Ijegun also scammed us.
Oh, wow. Is it an Ijegun thing? What are you guys doing? What are you guys drinking in Ijegun?
I don't understand.
Wow.
But yeah, so after a while, anyone who saw Ijegun, I was like, don't worry. It's not available. It's no longer available. Yeah, so it was... Yeah, so payment on delivery was like a very huge problem. And it's really limited our growth and it limited our ability to scale. Because we could not scale outside of Lagos, right? I mean, for example, if you want to imagine someone in Enugu or in Maiduguri or Benue State ordering for your product, you know, you're scared. If it's Lagos, you know, okay, at least if anything sup, I still feel enter motor, go to place, say, Alpha, pay my money. But she, I'll come up for Lagos, go Benue, go ask for hey, yeah. Do you get? So it was very iry or very risky to sell outside of Lagos, and so we couldn't scale our ads. You know, when we're running targeted ads, we mostly do
Lagos.
You know, just Lagos. Sometimes at some point it got so frustrating that we had to do our location within 10 miles of just our location. Do you get so that the ads doesn't go too far? Yeah, and so we don't get a lot of orders from outside that we cannot fulfill. Yeah, so it was tough. It was very tough. And at some point, we found ways around it. We would have fulfillment centers or distributors in this place. I mean, we had a lady in Ibadan, who was my namesake, Adiola. You know, would send her like 20 products at a time. You know, we had someone also for, was it Edo State? Or something for Edo State? Was someone in Abuja, right? So we'd send them products. You know, so whenever we had orders, they would either pick up from them and deliver. At some point, we started using GIG also. In fact, that was one of our most traumatic experiences.
Oh, wow.
Not GIG as a brand. The fact that if you offered payments on delivery, the customers would sometimes refuse to pick up their goods from the GIG office. GIG would usually not do... I mean, not...
Oh, door-to-door.
Door-to-door, yeah. I think at the time, they were not doing door-to-door. I mean, they did for some locations, but not nationwide, right? So... they would either refuse to go pick up the goods from the GIG store and it would just be stuck there. Wow. I mean, and sometimes we have them send it back. Sometimes it's just very messy. If you use public transport, it will be stuck at the park and they won't pick up. Sometimes the GIG will go to their doorstep, they won't respond. Some even receive it, they won't send you money. Like, it was messy. It was very messy. And, you know, I think March last year, was it March now? Yeah, I think February, March last year, I was like, you know what, I'm like, this e-commerce thing, it doesn't seem to be, I mean, where's the future in this? I mean, we could keep trying, probably, you know, do some money, we probably do, you know, 1 million profits, 2 million profits in a month, but it wasn't exact, and the exchange rate was not also
okay.
Encouraging. Right, so, I mean, if we order products today at $400 per dollar, by the time you sell it off in 2 months, dollar is already 550. Do you get, you know, all the profit you've made from the sales, you know, would just go back into getting new stock. Like, the profit was not clear anymore. So it's like, you know, there's no point doing this anymore. Why don't we try and solve this problem instead? Like the trust problem, the payment on delivery problem. Yeah. So that's why we're like, you know what, middleman.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's where middleman came from.
So I kind of like the idea. Now I want to know what middleman is all about. Because what some of us learned in school, you know, so there is consumer, there's consumer, of course, there is the, what's the word? Person who produces the...
Yeah, and then the manufacturer.
The manufacturer, and then there's the retailer, wholesaler, right? So I'm then trying to take that, you know, what's the word, thesis, or that into what it is that you're doing now. So there is the person who is selling, and there is me who has ordered, who is the consumer.
Yeah.
And then you're saying that you're in the middle, and you're going to help bridge the gap of trust in the sense that, okay, I don't trust these guys to send my money before, so I don't get scammed.
Mm-hmm.
and they don't trust that, listen, you're going to pay if it comes.
If, yeah.
So what are we going to do? So how do you fix that? I'm curious to know.
Okay. So so Midone is purely fintech.
Okay.
Right. To a large extent, we are fintech. So what I mean, so if you think about it deeply, the real problem is trust. It's lack of trust.
Yes.
Right. And lack of trust that the value will be exchanged. Is appropriately the word? Not appropriately. The value will be exchanged seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So. What Middleman does is we hold the money. So when we started Middleman, we've been running for about 4 months now.
Okay.
We tried to just stay out of the business and just focus on the money, right? So the way it works, let me quickly explain the way it works. The way it works is vendors sign up, right? If vendor signs up on Middleman, they have an account. What they then do is. Whenever a buyer wants to buy something, you know, from them, and buyer's like, hey, I don't trust you to deliver. And like, okay, I also don't trust you to pay on delivery. The idea is that the vendor will say, okay, if you don't trust to pay directly into my bank account, pay into my middleman wallet. Do you get? So the way it works is the buyer, of course, you know, we design middleman to mirror how transactions happen in real life, that is on social media, like social commerce. Right, so the usual pattern is send your name, address, and phone number, mm-hmm. right, and then they send you their account number. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. Everyone online. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So the buyer sends their name, address, phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So the vendor now uses that to create a payment on the middleman app. So let's role play it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to buy from me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to buy a pair of sneakers, mm-hmm. and it's 20,000 naira. You know, and I tell you, okay, please, remember, like, okay, yeah, that's better. That makes me feel safer. So you send me your name, phone number, and email address, mm-hmm. and your address, mm-hmm. right? So once you send it to me, I use it to create a payment on the app. So creating a payment on the middleman app is literally generating an account number.
Right. Right.
So once you put in those details, uh-huh. We have the system maps, it generates an account number for that customer.
Okay.
Do you get for that particular transaction? So you also put in the amount you want to receive.
Uh-huh.
Do you get? So once you tap on it, it shows you the account details, and it now also sends the customer a release code and a dispute link,
okay.
right? And also, of course, the account details to pay into, so that they can confirm that it's the same. So I can confirm that it's the same one that the vendor sends to them,
mm-hmm.
right? Because a vendor can send you an account number and claim it is middleman account.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So the vendor sends the account number, but the buyer also confirms, so he gets the account number, and then a release code, a four-digit release code, and a unique dispute link for that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get that, so we call that the payment prompt. So when they get that, it's like that's like the trust, really, because now they know that okay, this person has now when I send money to this account, the vendor will get it, but he can't withdraw it until I give him this code.
Oh,
do you get?
That's so what the release code is for.
Yeah, the release code, exactly. Gotcha. So when the vendor so of course the buyer will now proceed to send money to the account, and then we get an alert. They will see it in the minimum wallet that okay, I have a 20k credit. But if they try to, but it's just on the account, they can't withdraw it. So it's held in escrow. So you know, they will then go ahead and deliver the product. So when they deliver, you know, all is good. The buyer sends them the code. They
and
withdraw
they get their money.
Yeah, they can withdraw the money, and it's instant, right? And if all is not also well, the dispute link in the email, they can just click that dispute link, you know, to log a dispute and.
The product, maybe.
Yes, about the product or the transaction generally or whatever. Yeah. So and then you know we also have our dispute resolution policies and arrangements that takes care and make sure that both parties are happy,
right?
So but now things have changed a little. So I mean, usually, so what we've realized over the last couple of months now is that when people when they hear about middleman, they keep asking, okay, so what if the vendor. So the buyer doesn't release the code after they've gotten the product. I mean, because vendors also are scared of.
Mm.
So what we now built in is an automatic release after 24 hours, right? So if I deliver a product to you, and for some reason I'm not able to reach you to give me the dispute, the release code, perhaps your phone died or you got ill or whatever, you got kidnapped, right? So after 24 hours, the platform will automatically release the money to me, as long as you don't log a dispute. Because if you don't log a dispute, it will assume that, okay, that's all is well, and the money will be triggered and released automatically. So that's one improvement we've made. Lately, I think that was in December, but the feature that we just launched this morning, before I left, was a shipping feature delivery. I said earlier that we wanted to just stay out of the business and just focus on the money, but we also realized that that it helps vendors to be able to also deliver, like to also like book a delivery product immediately, because shipping is also like a big issue, like delivery and logistics. It's crazy. I mean, there are lots of players, but for some reason, when the delivery is not within your immediate locality, it's still pretty tough, right? So we connected with there's this aggregator platform that has aggregated a lot, about 80 something different logistic companies, you know, GIG, DHL, FedEx, name it, you know, Quick, GoCard, all of them. They are they're aggregated in one platform, right? So usually when you create a payment, you can also deliver. So once you put in the address, you can compare it, right? So to bring up, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 different logistic companies that can make that delivery.
And this is for the seller.
Yes, for the seller. Right. So we built solely for the seller, because we realized that, so for social commerce, we realized that going the wallet to wallet transfer route might not work, right? Because, okay, so imagine you want to buy from me now, and then I'm telling you to go and download an app. It's like, I'm just stressing you, right?
I won't do it.
Yeah, you want to just like, I beg. Right, so downloading an app, creating an account, now funding that wallet, and then sending me money, like, wallet to wallet. That's what a lot of our competitors... I shouldn't be saying this on camera.
It's okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's working for you, but so people are just
the easier the better.
Yeah, the better. Yeah, so if you got your... They just stick with bank transfers. You know, some other guys are building, and I'm cheering them on, to be honest. We need a lot of players in this space, because this escrow idea is not mainstream yet. And I mean, the more people embrace the idea of escrow, the better or easier it is for, or the faster the growth of e-commerce in Nigeria on a national level, right? So some of that guys are also building payment links. That is, the vendor will create a payment link for you. You have to click the link and go and check out, you know, put in your card details and check out. This is also still, you're taking them out of their Instagram. If someone is scrolling,
what's a pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we figured, you know, let's just do bank transfer. Yeah. And we've seen reasonable traction since we launched.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
How's it been?
Yeah, it's been pretty well.
It's 4 months, right?
It's been four months. I mean, we are closing in on 500 vendors at the moment. That's not a very significant number, but I mean, we're spending a lot of time, you know, solidifying the product, right, and preparing for scale. And I mean, we're also poor. We don't have a lot of marketing budgets at the moment. I mean, we're probably going to start raising. Precedes another 1 or 2 months, right? We raised family and friends. We raised some money, $2,000, family and friends, like angel round. But we will start raising again soon. But then there is rumor on the street, or word on the streets, is that one of the big banks in Nigeria is currently building escrow. And I heard that their product manager is looking at middleman like this. Well, I hope they build it right, because I should be threatened, really, because when a bank comes to compete with you, usually I should be thinking when a bank comes to the market, they can bully you out because they have bigger funds. But I think for me, it's sort of like a social impact. I mean, of course, the goal is to make profit, but it's sort of like a cause for me, like, to solve the payment on delivery problem, right? So I'm actually very enthusiastic about, you know, this bank launching their products and coming to the market with, like, you know, a couple billion naira marketing budget and plastering billboards all over the country and getting people there. So I feel like the first audio that we need to scale is that of what's the word now? Acceptability. Acceptance. Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if people accept the idea of escrow, like, you know, by the time we get vendors and buyers to the point where they can't do transactions online without asking, which escrow do you use? Mm-hmm. Do you get? So I think if you can get there, it opens up the market. Then, I mean, we smaller players that haven't raised $1 million, $2 million yet, you know, can now come in and compete, because, you know, then we can do a lot. We can play a lot of comparison games like a lot of comparison marketing, right? Yeah, comparison game in terms of marketing, and say, hey, we're better than Wemabank. Shit.
Yeah.
We're better than this bank. Will you do it with porn on this part?
Please, you have to. I have a lot of questions, because I like that you mentioned trust, right? Mm. And now I'm thinking of this, because now I have really dissected the products in my head. And that's something I like to do. So when I hear these things, I like to simplify it for myself. So that if I'm explaining to somebody else, it doesn't sound like jargons, right? Mm-hmm. So I have done that, and it's a beautiful idea, and I love it. But then you also... So two questions come to mind. Number one would be... I would like you to answer. Number one would be...
Yeah.
You spoke of trust, yeah? And from everything you've said, there's a lot of trust. There's a lot of concern for the consumer.
Actually, for both parties, but go ahead.
Okay, so maybe it's my understanding, mm-hmm. right? It's a lot of concern for the consumer. And I'm thinking, as a vendor... How do I also trust? Because again, it's like you said, it is a new market. It is not a market that has a lot of competition or competitors, right? Mm-hmm. So how do I trust this escrow so much to have them handle my money and not think that maybe one day I wake up and they're not there anymore? So do you? How do you convince the vendor to believe that you can trust me too?
That's a very interesting question. Very, very interesting question. But we struggled with this for like the first 2-3 months, right? We just started making sense of it in January when we went to the influencer route, right? Between October, November, December, we're doing ads. People will reach out that, hey, I love this, you know. Tell me more about it, and then, you know, they will ask these questions, right? But that issue lingered until we started working with like influencers in December. In January we decided to niche down, right? To look at, okay, which segments of this market do you want to focus on first, or like the online business market we focus on first, you know, really look for influencers in that space, you know, to like put their personal brand behind us, right? So when we did that, we saw more acceptance, you know, from vendors that, oh, okay, I mean, I know this influencer that is associated with.
So when you niche down, what segment of the market?
Yeah, so mini importation market. Gotcha. Yeah, so people that like import stuff from China. So they all have like very, very tight knit communities. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that we focused on. But then, I mean, the question about trust also boils down to regulation, right? And compliance. I am sure that We are currently working on getting a couple of licenses.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I'm sure that as the industry, as the market also, what's the word now? As it evolves and grows, we can trust our CBN. Mm-hmm. They're always looking for, for loopholes. Mm. They work very hard and they do their work diligently. Sometimes over diligently.
Because that popped in my head because you had also mentioned the fact that a certain bank is trying to do the same thing. And I'm like, So if I was honestly, if I didn't know you, if I was a vendor and these are the options, I would rightly want to put my money with a bank because I feel like they have there's the name, there's the equities, all of that great stuff. So I can walk into a bank, one of their branches, and scream if I don't see. If it comes down to that, as against these other guys, maybe you've been
there. Things have changed today. I mean, not many users. I mean, people use OPA today. OPA
now has like actual. I mean, even though the people always go there and cry, but they actually have like actual
physical offices. Yes. I know Lai went to one recently.
Oh, he did?
Yes, now there was a video he released where he inflated
did the job
for them. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw one around where I stay. I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, and that alone is enough to build trust.
I think Nigeria operates one of the most exciting banking systems.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this is very open. Like people can just come in and build stuff. And look at OPAY. Look at Chipper Cash doesn't have I don't know if they do. They probably have a physical office. I don't know where it is. My money is in Chipper. You know, there's Kuda, there's Pampay, there are all these people. So people have, I think over the last 3-4 years, people have warmed up to the idea of banking with bank that doesn't have a physical presence.
Virtual banks.
I worked with Prosper for a while. We currently have a lot of money, a couple of millions in Brass. Brass is a bank. I've never tried to search for their physical address. Right, so I think people
would get it eventually.
Yeah, would get.
Now, how do you make money? Because the little boy in me is now thinking, okay, maybe there's something Yambo said to me, but I buy something for 20,000. Somebody buys something for 20,000 and they send the 20K to the, and then, I mean, obviously, what you're remitting to the buyer is the same amount. So, except there's something that I don't know that you haven't said. School me. How do you make money?
Yeah, so we charge a percentage per transaction. So gotcha. We're going to charge 2.5%, but capped at 3,000 there.
Right.
So
per transaction.
Yeah, per transaction. Okay. Yeah. So if you need a transaction of 20K, it's just 500 there. Escrow fee, and we also designed it such that it's the vendor at the point of creating the payment can choose who pays the transaction fee. Right, so if they choose that I want to pay, that means they'll be getting 19,500.
Okay.
If they choose that it is that the buyer should pay,
the buyer is paying 20,500.
Exactly, yeah. So we'll add 500 to the 20K and we'll send them that, hey, pay 20,500 to this. Yeah.
Got you.
I think 2.5% of 120K is 3,000. Mm. So that means from 120K upwards, it's just 3,000. Even if it's millions, it's just 3,000.
Interesting. And what's the question I wanted to ask you? 4 months, like you said, you've been doing this, and 500 subscribers, and counting.
And counting.
Quite interesting. Okay, so how the other businesses? So because I looked you up, so I know that have you completely stopped Venia, or is still just there?
So the truth is, I mean, my co-founder Olara and I were talking about this the other day, and I think our hearts are still in e-commerce, right? Our hearts are still in e-commerce because there's something about selling products and people actually using them, then people's homes and people are making reviews and recommending it to their people. We are certainly going to pick them up. I mean, if you noticed, we didn't like shut down the pages or anything. They're still there. I mean, they're still there. We will pick up, but it's just not time yet. So, building Middleman is sort of like a what's it called now? So it's two things. it's like a social impact endeavor for us, to some extent. Like, okay, this problem is plagues the e-commerce industry. You know, we understand our product should be built, we know our product should be sold, that is tech products, you know, and we also understand the e-commerce market. I think, you know, let's go solve this. And it's also a get rich endeavor, because, you know, I mean, very few investors will fund a skincare business, very few investors will fund an e-commerce business. But when you say, hey, I have this app and we have, you know, 10,000 vendors using it, that we're processing, you know, can you call million transactions per month or per day, you know, just like I'm willing to give you $1 million, $2 million, like, hey, go build this. This looks solid. Yeah, so if you go blue for this country, let's go and do tech. You know, when we blow in tech, we use the money to continue.
That's quite cool. And you also said that for every transaction that is processed, there is an account number that is generated. So it's that there's a new account number every time.
Yeah, the account number expires. It's a virtual account. It's not exactly
got you. Interesting stuff. Okay, so I know that it sounds rosy, it sounds cool, right? It sounds nice. But I know that there's a lot of work and a lot of stress and tears and just like, that goes on behind the scenes. So for building middleman, what were those things that were you at any point tired? Like, we're like, are you sure this thing?
So I think I've been tired lately. I started getting tired recently, like a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so building, when we're still building, I mean, we spent how many months building the app? I think about 6 months. It should have taken 3 months. The first struggle that we had was getting a very good back-end engineer. You know, at the time, we had not raised money, so we didn't. So we needed someone that could say, hey, you know what, I'll build for you, pay me later, right? How much of stuff? So the first person we got, I mean, I won't go into the details, but we sort of wasted like the first 3 months. You know, we got good people, but they're not very available. And you know, when someone has a job that's paying him money, our assistant sit down with it was pretty tough. But eventually, we got an amazing guy who joined us, and we're like, you know what, don't worry, let's do this thing together. You know, I've also, so a lot of people on the team currently are people who also just want to solve the problem, right? It was tough getting here, and I think it has contributed to our very fast growth. You know, in the past couple of months, you know, our designer, our product designer, UI UX designer is a friend, an old friend, a lady. She's an old friend, a lady. Leave it as friends. It's an old friend.
Okay. Thank you, our old friend.
Our front end guy, who is also our lead engineer, engineering lead, is my cousin, Abe. Thank you, Abe. And our PM is one amazing guy that reached out to me on LinkedIn. So the thing about me is that I love to. So when I decided to do this, I started writing about it on LinkedIn. Right? So I was telling the stories of, you know, how I was thinking about building it, you know, the entire journey and thought process around how I want to be designed. And people sort of fell in love with, okay, this guy is doing this thing. I mean, I have like 3,000 plus people on my newsletter, you know, who I always send updates to, that this is where we are right now. People like are sort of excited about the idea of middleman. Right, so you reach out and I'm like, hey, bro, Alpha, I want to be part of this. You know, I've learned PM. I'm trying to break into tech space. You know, don't pay me. I don't want an IRA. Let me just be part of this. And I'm like, I mean, of course we pay him, because I don't like free work. Right, it's not very. I mean, if you at least a monthly stipend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we. So. So amazing guy, he also joined us. So I think I'll say building the team was tough in the beginning, but still, compared to struggles that other early stage startups face, I think it has also been relatively easy. So, but the current another challenge that we faced over the last couple of months now since we launched is challenge of people want mobile apps. Right, what we currently have is a web app. That is, you have to open your browser and log in, you know, blah blah blah. And from the feedback we've gotten, people are asking, the app is not. Almost everyone that has heard about us has come back with, the app is not on the Play Store or on the Apple Store. Where is it? Do you get? I'm like, it's still a website for now. Like, okay. So, but I think we're going to get more adoption when we launch our mobile, which should be ready by the end of February. Okay. God's grace, we're almost there. Yeah. And then, so. Those are like the two challenges that we are currently facing, and of course, we also need funds. I grossly underestimated how much it costs to run a startup, right? I mean, when we started raising angel investments, angel funds, you know, I sort of did not want to. We don't want to take too much money. We wanted to just raise something small, see if it works, see if people use it, so that we don't take on too much. Risk and responsibility. So we raised like very little money, about 25K. But mine almost finished. And we legit thought it will last us like 8 months, spending it small. But then, it's expensive. Yeah. It's expensive, yeah. Mm-hmm. So now I understand people that go on to raise, 300K, 500K, in pre-seed. Well, I used to think, what do you need this kind of money for?
But now you know.
Now I know. Right. And also that, costs, AWS bill itself will almost finish you. When Amazon sends their cloud bill, it's in thousands of dollars. It's crazy. It's crazy.
But anyway, you're doing it, and from what I gather, you have passion for it, and it's not something that according to you, it is a social what again?
Yes, it's a social cause, it's a social impact endeavor. Yeah, the goal for us right now is to pretty much stay alive long enough for the markets to be ready. So I've realized over the last couple of months, this thing is a long game. Yeah. If I was talking with a friend this morning, Alpha, we need side also.
Honestly,
I need to build something on the side that I need the side also that can fund it also.
But I mean good luck to you. I know that it's a fantastic idea.
The problem exists.
You are creating a solution for it, and good luck with the competition that you're going to have.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to keep my eyes on things on that one. I want to see how but I just feel like there's just something about, having the heart for it. I mean, yes, ideas. I tell people that one idea is not for one person. You can get the idea now, and so many people get the idea as well, right?
Yeah.
But then when you have the heart for it, and you actually start the way you've started, and you're just, grinding literally, and someone just, boom, comes from nowhere and thinks that they can throw in millions, I don't think that the zest will be the same. There's just something about that hunger. That
someone told me that too.
Yeah, there's something about that hunger and zest that just always keeps you right. And good luck to you, Sha.
Thank you. We need all the luck that you can get.
Business is hard. Anyways, thank you for coming. This was a very interesting conversation, and I look forward to seeing Middleman on huge billboards and big TV ads, and randomly on YouTube, I don't know, like a middleman ad, and all that great stuff, events and all. I mean, everything.
Thank you.
Everything.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
And I know that the opportunities that even might not be as big, but opportunities that I know that you can tap from and just plug, because partnerships, things like that.
I mean, there's something we're currently pursuing with one of the telcos. We also took this feedback from just listening to what people, to rumors, and it's the same question you raised about how do I trust middleman, right? And since the real value that we're really offering, or the real solution, or the problem, solve the problem of trust, we sort of need the backing of an already established brand.
Trusted brand.
That can see, that we can sort of you know, like a rub off on us, yeah, such that people just accept it. Yeah. So I mean, and it's either a bank or a telco. I think it's like the two industries or two whatever that has like nationwide coverage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you pursue something with one of the telcos? They are supposed to invest a lot of money in our marketing, you know, and you know, core brand and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think that would, I mean, your colors are green and white.
Yeah, green and beige.
That's beige. Green. My mean is green.
Yeah,
I have a telco in mind already, but it's what it, I'm just this is the marketer in me looking at the brand already in my head. But yeah, you know, right. Yeah, just it will work out. It will work out seamlessly.
It's better does.
Yeah, just get your marketing right. Your you know and. Get the proposals right, everything will fall in place. That's what it is. But thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
And I just appreciate it. What was the handle, your handle and middleman's handle?
Okay, my handle is on IG at Adela Owosho. Mm-hmm. I think Adela dot Owosho. There's a dot in the middle. Or just search Father Figure. That's my name.
Father Figure, love it.
Father Figure, yeah. Both on IG and on Twitter, Father Figure.
Okay.
And middleman. So it's middleman with 3 Ds. I think I should mention that. Oh. So we are the D in the middle.
Love it.
This is us.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's nice three Ds, not two Ds.
2 Ds.
Yeah.
Okay, so add middleman on with 3 Ds.
With 3 Ds.
On yeah. Instagram. All right, and that's the much we can take. I'm going to see you guys in the next episode.